WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg Public Works says the city's water conservation restrictions will likely continue through the week. On the 71st anniversary of Brown v. Board of Education, students, educators, and civil rights leaders unveil a new historical marker in Harrisonburg. And food insecurity is on the rise in the Shenandoah Valley. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, May 20th. The Harrisonburg Water Treatment Plant is nearing full service, but the city's water conservation efforts continue. In a Facebook post Monday, the city's Public Works Department said that residents should continue to conserve water through the week after damage to the city's water treatment plant from last week's storms. Officials ask residents to keep saving water whenever possible. That includes taking showers instead of baths, not washing driveways or vehicles, and only watering gardens by hand instead of using sprinklers or irrigation systems. The city will continue to post updates and more information on the Public Works Facebook page and on X. On the 71st anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Brown v. Board of Education decision, students, educators, and civil rights leaders unveiled a new historical marker in Harrisonburg. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee was there.
In the federal courthouse in Harrisonburg in 1956, 2 years after the Brown v. Board decision, Judge John Paul ruled that Charlottesville City Public Schools could not deny 12 black students admission to formerly all-white schools. This was the first Virginian court order to end school segregation, and after 2 years of appeals in that case, Paul made a similar ruling in a lawsuit against Warren County Public Schools. In response, the Virginia state government launched a massive resistance campaign against integration, closing schools in both localities and Norfolk for months. On Saturday, around 200 people spilled into the street and sidewalks around the courthouse to witness the unveiling of a new historical marker commemorating these events. The day's speakers included two of the child plaintiffs whose fights for education are memorialized on the marker, including Charles Alexander, aka Mr. Alexan of Charlottesville.
About 67 years ago, I was 6 years old when I came to court. Imagine a six-year-old coming to court. And when I think of Harrisonburg and John Paul, I think of courage.
The other was Betty Kilby, the lead plaintiff in Warren County.
We were teenagers. I was just 14. We walked through a crowd of protesters, screaming and threatening us. We were traumatized, but we were trained in nonviolence. We were told that we were soldiers in the midst of a war to get an education.
The marker was born out of an independent study project in which Spotswood High School students Priya Dua and Elizabeth Kidd interviewed Judge Paul's nephew, who is also a judge named John Paul. From there, it grew into 14 hours of interviews with those on the front lines of school desegregation, from which the students created a documentary called Knocking Down Walls, which is available online. As Dua, now a University of Virginia student, told WMRA,
"We were so grateful throughout our years of research to not have history presented to us from just books and court cases, but getting to hear the lived history from the people who made it and getting to really emotionally connect with it on a much deeper level than any class could have provided us."
Also speaking at the dedication was Ann Holton, lawyer, judge, professor at George Mason University, and Virginia's former First Lady and Secretary of Education. Her father, Governor Linwood Holton, declared massive resistance over when he took office in 1970 and enrolled his own children in the majority black schools where they were assigned by federal courts.
I've lived a lot of this history personally. I thought I knew a lot of it. But watching your documentary, reading the story behind the plaque we unveiled today, I learned a lot myself.
Among the plaintiffs in attendance was Ann Rhodes Baltimore, the first African-American student to graduate from Warren County High School in Front Royal. She was also the only student to graduate from there in 1959, because after the county was forced to admit the 23 black students, all of the white students stayed in quickly assembled private schools for the remainder of the academic year.
It was heartbreaking, really, because I missed out on all the things that a senior would experience. You know, there was no prom, there was no graduation. It took 19 years for Warren County School Board to even give me my diploma. My oldest son graduated from high school the year that I got my diploma.
Because there was no high school for black students in the county then, she spent 2 years being bused out to Fauquier County and her junior year traveling to Berryville, which was still more than 20 miles away, all while there was a high school in the town where she lived.
I could have walked to the school.
She recalled that first day attending Warren County High School on February 18, 1959, walking past a crowd of screaming white segregationists.
You listen to your parents. Don't turn around, don't look back, and don't say a word. Just keep walking. And that's what we did, to get up that hill and go to school.
She wore her class ring to the dedication on Saturday, the one she had to go to multiple jewelers to obtain. The rich red stone set in gold, declaring her the class of 1959.
But this mark, I think it's wonderful. They made us feel like what we did was really valuable. We did the right thing.
Many of the plaintiffs and their family members sang along with Devante Garcia, a recent JMU graduate who performed Lift Every Voice and Sing. Even the church bell cried out. WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can hear more about these and other students' experiences of desegregating public schools in our area by checking out WMRA's 2022 series, Virginia Voices of Integration. That series is posted at WMRA.org and on our app. Food insecurity is on the rise in the Shenandoah Valley. That's according to a new nationwide report from Feeding America, with some of the region's counties reporting some of the highest rates in Virginia. The annual Map the Meal Gap study, which examines food insecurity at the county and zip code levels, shows that more people in the Shenandoah Valley and Blue Ridge area are struggling to afford basic meals. In the latest report, Shenandoah County, Page County, and the city of Harrisonburg stand out, with food insecurity rates approaching or exceeding 1 in 7 people. The 2025 edition of the study is based on 2023 data. The Blue Ridge Area Food Bank says the need has only increased since then due to inflation and the end of pandemic-era food aid. You'll find WMRA's ongoing coverage of food insecurity in our area at WMRA.org. Police and officials with Virginia's Animal Law Unit began the process of removing 3 female giraffes from Natural Bridge Zoo on Monday. WSET reports that the first attempt to load a giraffe onto a transport trailer failed because the giraffe was becoming overly stressed. In December 2023, investigators with the Attorney General's Animal Law Unit seized nearly 100 animals after allegations of inadequate care and neglect. In March 2024, a jury decided that Rockbridge County was justified in the seizure of 71 animals, including 4 giraffes. 1 male giraffe was removed last October. 2 of the females were pregnant, but court documents show the baby giraffes are nowhere to be found. The county plans to move all 3 giraffes by the end of May. School zone speed cameras are now in effect for 3 schools in Charlottesville. To finish out the school year, which ends on May 30th, cameras around Johnson and Summit Elementary Schools, as well as the Buford Middle School, are now active. The cameras will capture people speeding 11 miles over the posted 15-mile-per-hour speed limit. A warning period is in effect for drivers, and the $100 fine is not set to be in effect until after a second warning period at the beginning of the next school year. After that, drivers will start seeing fines. Virginia's general fund revenues rose sharply in April. The Virginia Mercury reports that's in spite of signs of a national economic cool down, as Virginia continues to see steady job growth and rake in more tax dollars than projected. Governor Glenn Youngkin announced on Monday that general fund revenues are up 6.3%, nearly $1.5 billion, compared to the same 10-month period last fiscal year. And finally today, Congress is considering a bill that could leave Virginia and every other state powerless to regulate artificial intelligence. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
You probably already know the plot to the 1984 movie The Terminator. A cyborg hitman from the future arrives in the present, sent because of a future war between humans and AI-powered machines. Virginia might be encountering its own unwanted plot twist, says State Senate Majority Leader Scott Sorovel, if Congress approves a 10-year moratorium on state regulation of artificial intelligence.
A 10-year moratorium is crazy. We're going to have the machines and the Terminator taking over our country if we wait that long to do anything about it. I mean, states need to act. We need to act soon and start figuring this out. And I think the states are the laboratory of innovation, and we can sort of lead the way. And then if Congress doesn't like what we do, then maybe they can step in. But some blanket moratorium is crazy.
Earlier this year, Sorovel proposed an unsuccessful bill that would have required candidates to disclose their use of AI, a bill that would be impossible during a decade-long blackout of state AI regulation. So would one regulating how AI can be used in the courtroom, a bill the governor signed into law that was introduced by Delegate Cliff Hayes of Chesapeake.
There are some AI tools that are used to fight AI. So such a blanket approach, you actually could be hurting positive uses for the use of AI.
The 10-year moratorium of state AI regulation is being considered by Congress as part of the budget reconciliation package. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I do hope you enjoy your Tuesday.